Ooh, Papa, do, how do you do? This is the Johnny Punish Show, and I'm Johnny Punish, brought to you tonight by VT Radio and HireVeterans.com, jobs for U.S. veterans. Tonight, here, live, on the radio, we're going to have a contest. It's about the Sex Pistols versus the Clash in a big contest to see politically who was tighter back in the 70s and how did we get here in the years of the 2000s. Tonight, right now, beginning here live, we are going to hear Wyatt Ryan by the Clash. Let it rock, people. Johnny Punish, Wyatt Ryan.
Yeah.
in the UK by the Sex Pistols. Now, if that didn't get you pumped up, nothing will. You see, White Riot and Anarchy in the UK were the quintessential punk songs of the 70s. They started it all. Yeah, there were little bands before, but it was those two bands that got it all started back in the 70s. And Anarchy in the UK is that quintessential punk song. And you don't know punk if you don't know Anarchy in the UK. But let's start with White Riot. What was that song about? You know, a lot of people back in the day thought it was a racist song, but lyrically, the song is about class economics and race, and thus provided controversial stuff. Some people thought it was advocating a kind of race war, kind of like what we have today in Baltimore and Ferguson and everywhere else in the United States. Seems like it. Rather, lyricist Mr. Joe Strummer was trying to appeal to white youths to find a worthy cause to riot, as he felt black people in the UK already had that. It contains a positive message in the lines, "Are you taking over or are you taking orders? Are you going backwards or are you going forwards?" The song was written by Joe Strummer and bassist Paul Simonon, because they were involved in the riots at the Notting Hill Carnival in 76. And that's basically what White Riot was about. Okay, let's take a look at Anarchy in the UK. The lyrics endorse a particularly sensational, violent concept of anarchy that reflected the pervasive sense of the embittered anger, confusion, relentlessness, economic frustration, and social alienation which was being felt by a generation of disenfranchised youth amidst the declining economic situation and bland music scene of the 1970s. Sound familiar, Baltimore? Does it make any sense, Ferguson's? Here we are. You want to know if this has ever happened before? Yes, it has. And it happened in England back in the 70s. There was a major recession going on. Margaret Thatcher had just taken over. They killed the labor. They were destroying the unions. People were going out of work. It was a wild time. And the music and the culture of the time reflected that. Before the Pistols and the Clash, it was very antiseptic, very vanilla. And these guys came along and said, "Fuck you." And they did rocking out hardcore. Next up, we have London's Burning. And this is a live version that's been very rarely heard by the Clash.
Turn it on, face the truth, lift it. Everybody sitting around, fuck
back by the Clash. Clash. Okay, before that, we had a great song that was called, and you forgot what it was called, didn't you? Oh, yeah? Well, here's the bottom line. It was called God Save the Queen and Her Fascist Regime. Okay, let's talk about that song first. Okay, basically, God Save the Queen, Rolling Stone ranked it number 173 on their list of the 500 greatest songs of all time. One of the group's two songs on the list along with Anarchy in the UK. Sounds Magazine made it their single of the year in 77. And in 1989, it was the 18th in the list of NME Writers' all-time top 150 singles. It's a pretty badass song. God Save the Queen and Her Fascist Regime. Never mind the bollocks. Here's the Sex Pistols. Yeah, that was definitely during a time when they did not appreciate the Queen, if you know what I'm saying. Okay, now, Police on My Back. Okay, well, that's pretty self-explanatory, I mean, don't you think? With today's going on in the United States, the riots here and there, it's happened before, folks. It's nothing new. In fact, I want to talk about that for a second. Sometimes we think that everything is happening now. It's never happened before. You know, we can look back to the 1930s Depression time, and there was a guy named Woody Guthrie. And he actually was a guitarist, singer-songwriter that wrote songs about the Depression. Now, for his time, it was considered punk. I mean, they didn't call it punk, but it was basically rebellion music, revolution music, music of protest. And that has gone through the centuries. You see the 60s, during this, the 20th century, we had Bob Dylan-type music, Joan Baez, a lot of great artists protesting the flower power, the war in Vietnam. Fast forward, the go-go 80s wasn't too good. There was a lot of money being made, and everybody was doing good. We had Ronald Reagan trickle down economics. And, you know, it kind of worked back in that time, not perfectly, but it was the age before Uber globalization, when actually the rich, when they did make money and they got no taxes from Ronald Reagan, they are actually able to trickle it down some of it. Today, that doesn't happen. The rich today make all their money and then invest it all over the world, anywhere they want, as quick as they want. And it doesn't trickle down necessarily to the common man down on Main Street. That does not happen. But it somewhat happened back there. This is the days before the internets, or as, is that what Bush called them? The internets? Yeah, I think he did. Okay, so basically it was a better time. Again, not perfectly. There was a lot of winners and losers, but still it wasn't as bad as it is today, where we have, you know, 1% of the population making a gazillion dollars and we have 99% making 3 cents an hour and fighting in the streets. So it was a different time back then. But this has happened through over the centuries, nothing new. But the question really is, what are we going to do about it? When are we going to actually evolve and change our culture, change our economic systems, not to be socialist, but to be economically viable for all of us on the planet? Something more interesting, something more evolved. There's got to be a better way, and I think we should explore that a little bit more, don't you think? Okay, next song up, another crazy ass political song. This is a little bit on a different spectrum. It is about abortion. So for all you Christians out there, please shut your eyes and close your ears, because this whole thing is gonna drop crazy. Okay, let's see what we got here. Let's get it on. That was I'm So Bored With The USA by The Clash. Okay, let's discuss that song. It's a very, very interesting song. Let's check it out. First of all, it was originally titled I'm So Bored With You. It was a love song written by Mick Jones, Mr. Fancy Pants. Okay, according to Keith Topping's book, The Complete Clash, a song was about Jones' then-girlfriend, the same woman who was the topic of Deny. Okay, according to the story often told by the song's authors, Joe Strummer and Jones, including on the documentary West Way to the World, the change came about by Strummer mishearing the song's title when Jones played it to him during their first meeting at the Davies Road Squat. The band's early recordings included the popular live bootleg, Five Go Mad at the Roadhouse. Included in the song, its original form, however, by the time the concert in 76 at the Roadhouse came around in Camden, the song is performed using the new title. The intro to the song is a variant of the intro to Pretty Vacant by the Sex Pistols. Interesting, huh? We'll play that later. Okay, so I'm So Bored With The USA was originally a love song. How do you like that? Okay, bottom line though, it came about to mean just sick and tired of the same old shit, the same old nonsense coming out of the United States. Culturally, nothing interesting, just boring, and they were just disgusted by it. So they kind of changed the song to that. So that's a very interesting take on I'm So Bored With The USA. Previous to that, we played Bodies by the Sex Pistols. That was a live version. Of course, the song is about the shock of abortion. It's from the 77 album Nevermind the Bollocks, obviously. I mean, I think that was their basic only album. The lyrics contain very graphic imagery about a terminated fetus, and they feature a great deal of profanity for the time. Of course, we feature profanity here on the Johnny Punish Show, but it seems to be normal. At least that's the way I grew up. You know, in the streets of New York, what can I say? All right, the third and final verse begins with a couplet in which the word fuck is repeated five times in rapid succession. Along with the later Belson Was a Gas, it was probably the most graphic and controversial Sex Pistols song in its both subject matter and style. Musically, it was also the fastest and heaviest song in the Sex Pistols canon, characterized by the ominously thudding drums, relentlessly droning buzzsaw guitar, and the maniacal shouting vocals. As such, it can be considered a significant antecedent to the genres of hardcore, thrash, and what they commonly refer to as speed metal that was to emerge in the 1980s. Okay, that's a very interesting take on both songs. Bodies live there. Let's do a little, I think we should go with Know Your Rights by The Clash. What do you think? You guys like Know Your Rights? That song comes from a later album in their later, I think it was early 80s. Let's go with 82. And it became a kind of popular song. I mean, obviously their most popular songs are Rock the Casbah and Should I Stay or Should I Go. You're not going to hear that tonight because I'm not going to play them. But I'll tell you what, I'll play Know Your Rights by The Clash.
Yeah, anybody out? We'll be right back. degrees are not enough.
Holiday in the Sun by the Pistols off their album Nevermind the Bollocks. You know, that song was inspired by a trip to the Channel Island of Jersey. According to Johnny Rotten, he says, "We tried our holiday in the sun in the Isle of Jersey, and that didn't work. They threw us out." That trip was followed by a couple of weeks spent in Berlin. Although they described the city as raining and depressing, they were relieved to get away from London. You know, Johnny Lydon, that's his real name, Johnny Rotten, not Johnny Punish, Johnny Rotten. Yes, I take my name, Mr. Punish, from Johnny Lydon. Okay, here we go. He says, being in London at the time made us feel like we were trapped in a prison camp environment. There was hatred and constant threat of violence. The best thing we can do was go set up in a prison camp somewhere else. Berlin and its decadence was a good idea. The song came about from that. I love Berlin. I love the wall and the insanity of the place. The communists looked in on the circus atmosphere of West Berlin, which never went to sleep. And that would have been their impression of the West. What a crazy world. Now, of course, that precedes most of you. Don't remember what the Berlin Wall is or was, but it was a symbol of the Cold War. It was a way to separate people in a crazy world gone mad. And of course, the Clash brought to you Know Your Rights. That was the previous song. That song is just a statement about knowing your rights, and it's kind of an erotic thing. You know your rights, all three of them, like you don't have any. And this is back in the 80s. Most of you think that this slam on your civil rights came after 9/11, but it started way before 9/11, and that's the truth. 9/11 was just a catalyst that allowed the system to clamp down in a push. A hardcore push, 1, 2, 3, 4, boom, hit you hard. Before it was a mission creep. And then 9/11 came, boom, Unpatriot Act, NDAA, etc., etc. And this is how we got here today. So yeah, Know Your Rights, all three of them back in the 80s. And now, Know Your Rights, all none of them. Next up, Complete Control by The Clash. This is about the corporatocracy controlling music. Complete Control.
Yeah. John, Joe Strummer said you're a sweetheart. I talked to him 13 months before he passed away.
Yeah.
I did a lot of good favours for Joe. I gave him a career when he was a toss pole.
Yeah. There you go.
John, so much. did you consider the Ramones an influence?
No, don't be silly. No. I was up and kicking a long time before them spastics.
Did you like them?
In a way, I liked Status Quo, which is a band ever want to revise at that time, you'll understand what they were taking from. The Ramones were deeply unoriginal.
Was Johnny Ramone
Phil Spector idea with no sensibility of lyrics?
Was Johnny Ramone alien. Like a fascist?
No, he was a sweetheart.
Oh, really? You ever watch a Ramones film, right?
They never had no punks in the crowd. So what he did, they nicked a Sex Pistols crowd. He was at the 100 Club, and you'll see Ramones playing, and that's a Sex Pistols crowd.
Yeah.
Ramones crowd were hippies and left wingers.
The mission.
I want one of those t-shirts.
Well,
you cheeky bastard.
Dragon.
That was The Clash, their last time playing in Manchester, which was just before Christmas. They've had about 6 months off and they're back on the road again. It's been a long time away from it. Are you worried that your popularity, your position will have waned?
No, we don't worry about things like that too much. You know, we worry about what we sound like and how the music's coming on.
It's now about 2 years since you formed, since it all began to happen. Do you think something has been achieved in those 2 years? Can you look back and say you've achieved something, Nick?
There's a hell of a lot been achieved, yeah.
Define what?
Well, it's like it's a lot easier now than it used to be. You get a band together.
We can play
a lot better bands, right?
I thought you said you're meant to be not able to play your guitar in the early days.
We learned. That's what we've been doing for 6 months.
But do you think now that the companies have signed up bands and everyone, I mean, do you think it's not... There was an anti-business thing at one time. Isn't it now just the business again?
Yeah, it's all a business.
Doesn't that shock you that you wanted to destroy it and now it still is a business?
Yeah, but we signed up with them, you know. We weren't going to go into no hippie thing where, like, you stay in one corner of the world and no one ever hears about you. And if you want to come out of that corner, you've got to deal with the real world, and that's business, you know. And if you think it isn't, then you're just fooling yourself.
Would you
you've got to be realistic about it and watch yourself, you know?
Would you like to go to America, Nicky?
Yeah.
You would?
Yeah.
You would, you admit that. He said no beforehand. A very final, a very quick question, actually. I haven't got much time to talk. Nicky, apparently you can kill people with shouting. I thought the film was a joke. Is that true?
No, you can, yeah.
Where do you read that?
It's a martial artist thing done in the Shaolin Temple.
So it isn't fiction?
No.
All right. And the final question, you used to have backdrops of street riots. What's your backdrop this tour?
Flags of the World.
Flags of the World. Spot Flags of the World. They'll be playing up here in Manchester on Sunday, July the 2nd at the Apollo. We recommend it very highly, and they're playing July the 13th at the Empire in Liverpool. Thank you both very, very much. A few more New Wave events. Johnny Moped, More Power Than a Yamaha 750, after many months in the background. A very good debut album.
Oh, yeah.
That was
crazy stuff, right? That was Joe Strummer and Topper Heaton from The Clash talking back in the day, admitting they were going to join the corporatocracy. And there's your difference between the Sex Pistols and The Clash. The Sex Pistols imploded after one album, basically. Sid Vicious actually didn't play on the album much. I think he played on one song. He was too busy in the hospital and on heroin, and of course, contemplating killing his girlfriend. What was her name? It escapes me. Nancy Spungen, of course. And then, of course, he killed himself in a suicide. Strummer was more of a practical guy. He was the son of a low-level diplomat. He actually went to elementary school in Mexico City. And, of course, he grew up a little bit around the world in different embassies, and he saw the world. So he was able to draw upon that into his music. But he was practical. He understood he had to sign with the business if you wanted to get his message out. And he did that. A lot of people in the punk community criticized The Clash for that. They wanted him to stay pure and innocent and not tainted by the system. It's a decision, right? We saw that happen with Green Day back in the day. People got mad at them as well. It's just one of those things. You know, do we live in the real world with this real economy that has been given to us, or do we protest to the nth degree of starvation? It's a hard decision. We see the people in Baltimore protesting. How far are they going to go? How far are you going to go till those Washington bullets get a hold of you?
Mama, look there, your children are playing in the street again. Don't you know what happened down there? A youth of 14 got shot down there. The cocaine guns are jammed downtown. The killing clowns are blood money men. Shooting foes, Washington bullets again. As every cell in Chile will tell, the cries of the tortured men. Remember the day and the days before the army came. Remember Victor Jara in the Santiago Stadium. Ever that it was Washington bullets again. And in the Bay of Pigs in 1961, Havana for the Playboy in the Cuban sun. For Castro is the color is a redder than red. Those Washington bullets want Castro dead. For Castro is the color. Spray of lead. Sun
the Johnny Punish Show tonight on VT Radio. Thank you for listening, folks. Really appreciate it. This message has been brought to you by HireVeterans.com, a job board for U.S. veterans. I hope you enjoyed the show. The Clash, the Sex Pistols, Johnny Rotten, Joe Strummer. Good night now.